Hear God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in a shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word to us this morning. May he add his blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of it. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the devil and his minions have made it their mission ever since they were cast out of heaven and then the creation of those in God's likeness to get man, woman, and child not to trust God. Not to trust God. That was a game plan back in the Garden of Eden, and it continues to this day. And it's not just about creating trust issues with God, but developing discord within Christian families and in church fellowships. How many times have I heard people, including myself, say, I don't trust that person. I don't trust that person. Or that person has broken my trust. Reconciliation between two warring parties can never happen without mutual trust. Was it not President Reagan who quipped, trust but verified, relating to our country and nuclear arms agreements made with that what was then known as the Soviet Union? But what I find repeating with conflicts in the church or family is that it seems to come down to this. They have to win back my trust. In order to overcome this, whatever this may be, they have to win back my trust. In other words, no deal can happen until through the passage of time, trust can be earned. Prove to me that you are trustworthy, and then we'll see where we go from there. So before we resume our seasonal series on the Psalms, picking up with Psalm 27, let me put forth this proposition. What if to gain God's favor, we have to prove that we will always be trustworthy, that God can always trust us. Well, if that would be the case, we would never have God's favor. How good that we have it, that God's favor upon his chosen ones comes through the faithful Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and not based upon our trustworthiness. Psalm 27 is about David's trust in God. And we shall look at the confidence of trust, the countenance of trust, and finally, the confession of trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. David lays out his confidence in his covenant-keeping sovereign God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What else do we need to know? He is your light. He is your salvation. But he states further, no enemy can prevail against me because of my God. He does not say, no enemy can prevail against me because I believe in God, as if my believing makes God God. No, it's all God. The reason why we have doubts about God and lack confidence in our faith at certain times is not because we wonder if there is a God, but more like we don't trust our trust in God. It's really that. We don't trust our trust in God, as if our believing God, again, is what makes God God. If I just had more faith, God would be more real to me. Well, God is real, even if you do not have faith. Your faith does not make God real. And let me tell you the real issue with trust issues. Don't trust yourself in resolving trust with another person, especially outside of Christ. Don't trust yourself in resolving trust with another person. And don't think your faith journey is what saves you. Your faith journey does not save you. Christ saves you. That's what this table is all about. To remind us, it is Christ who saves us. Trust God and his word as applied by the Spirit. Now in Mark 9, we have this narrative. They brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire, into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. This father, this earthly father, goes right to the source and cries out, help me to trust. Help me to believe. Now back to our psalm. David knows that his victorious military campaigns, his renowned reputation, his valor, are nothing from which he draws any confidence. He has no fear of his enemies because his confidence is in God. Whatever the situation, whatever the need, whatever the sorrow, whatever the evil, David looks to God. And what about us? These thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, after this psalm was penned, yes, we too have our grieving. Yes, we too have our opposition, our trials. Yes, we too have our afflictions. And yes, we too live in a day where evil encamps against the church. The bronze arrows of David's day have become the fiery flames of social media that attack the young and the old alike. But again, whatever the situation, whatever the need, whatever the sorrow, whatever the evil, David turns to God, as must we. As must we. Verses 4 through 6 speak to David's singular purpose and affections. One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Now, what is behind all of this confidence? These are bold words. What's behind his trust? It's his love for God. It's his love to worship God. He wants to be in the sanctuary of his God. This is why he lives. This is what moves him. This is his being. He wants to pursue God. He wants to glorify God. He wants to serve God. He wants to know and meditate on God's law. Because David devotes himself to God, he understands that God will provide for his every need. See, when we don't meditate on God, we begin to doubt. And when we don't read God's word, we start kind of filling in the blanks from our own experiences, from our own insights, because we have not availed ourselves to his word. And so we think, maybe, well, I can think through this on my own. The devil loves that. He loves any minute that we have that we don't commune with God. How many of us this morning, in getting ourselves ready for worship, for communion with God, can say to some degree this: one thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Was that on our minds? I know, speaking for my family, I suspect for other families, and in any time a church has a fellowship meal, we got to get the food over there. We got to get the kids in the van. We have to do this and that. And we're not thinking about, wow, I just want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I just want to be in his temple, in his presence. That's what this means, to be in the presence of God. This is what drives David. It ought to be the thing that drives us. The countenance of trust that is the face of David's confidence is God himself. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. That's the recurring motif here, beloved. O God of my salvation. So after David boldly declares his confidence in God, he implores God. He begs God. The tone of Psalm sharply changes at verse 7, and some commentators have wondered, well, maybe this is a different psalm now. Maybe this should have been divided at this point. But understand, two things can be true at the same time. David could rest in the confidence of God and still come off needy, still come off desperate. And we might ask ourselves, well, why the desperation if you have the Almighty God? Well, David knows that God will answer his need, but that does not diminish his desperation, his angst, his concerns. Many quarters of the Reformed Church have mourned the recent passing of Reverend Dr. Tim Keller. One of his last pieces of counsel that he gave before succumbing to pancreatic cancer after a 3-year battle with the disease was this. Profound words indeed. Forget yourself. Forget your reputation. Do what you can to lift upon God's name. He was very close to death when he had said that. Forget yourself. Forget your reputation. Do what you can to lift upon God's name. And we, in our vigor, we with our strength, ought to consider these words. Because Reverend Keller was referring to Jeremiah 45:5. And in regarding to his cancer, Keller stated, God has been remarkably present. Disease, tragedy, need, hurt, anxiety, loss, wrong that has been done to you, causes the faithful believer to seek the face of trust. And that is God's countenance. Paul writes in his letter to the saints at Philippi, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. That's confidence in the face of Christ. So David continues, hide not your face from me, turn not your servant away in anger. Oh, you have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not. Oh, God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Now, when David says, my father and my mother have forsaken me, he's not saying that they've left me, in a sense, but they're earthly parents. And they too shall die. They too are frail. They too are sinners. So David's not going to put his entire trust upon that, because that will soon be gone. A noted Christian apologist had often spoken figuratively, of two ropes descending from heaven. And one's rope represents God's sovereignty and the other man's responsibility. So sovereignty and responsibility. Without getting into the weeds of the illustration, allow me to just simplify and say this. God speaks and we respond. God does and we respond. That's what the creature does. He or she responds to what God says and does. While we must always trust God and be confident in him, we will feel the effects of sin. We will feel the consequences of sin. The loss of loved ones, the injustices that come our way, the bitter disappointments, the forsakenness that David speaks of, the loss, it's all there. We groan, we groan, we groan, we cry together, we groan. In fact, Jesus himself groaned in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your will be done. He understood burden and pain. And yet, he was sinless. though he suffered the infirmities of this life because of our sin. Because of our sin. Beloved, David's response, teach me your way, O Lord, teach me and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. For David to grow in his confidence, he needs the Lord to teach him. He needs to grow in the Lord's statutes, in his decrees, in his commands, his law. Like we all. Because again, the moment we take our eyes off of him, we rely on ourselves outside of him. And I say again, do not trust yourself outside of Christ. We know Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We know Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Get counsel from God. Seek his countenance. Seek his face, his presence. Commune with him. Make that your mission. Make that your priority in all that you do. Don't fill your life with that which does not endure, with that which shall fade away. But fill up your heart with those things that have eternal significance. Well, we have looked briefly at the confidence of trust and the countenance of trust. Now, let's conclude with the confession of trust in verses 13 through 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The NASB, the New American Standard Bible, puts verse 13 this way, as I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the New King James Version translates verse 13 a little bit differently, and I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But had the ESV, the version that we are using, added the words that some Hebrew manuscripts inserted, it would have read this way, oh, had I not believed that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And all of those translations, the message is still very quite clear and unified. All of which showing David's dependency on God. He's dependent upon God. And that is what he is confessing. Not in his own valor, not in his own might. He's confessing that it's God. It's all God. It's always been God. And it will always be God. And David is saying, I believe, and so I do see the goodness of the Lord. Now, his confession of trust comes from faith given to him. So he's not resting in his confessing, in his confession as if that's going to save the day. He's resting all things in God. The God of his salvation has given him light. The God of his salvation has given him help in the day of trouble. The God of his salvation has taught him the way he should go. The God of his salvation has given him shelter and refuge, the sanctuary of divine presence. This is what God has done. The God of salvation, he's given David all of these things, light, salvation, shelter, refuge, presence. So again, David essentially saying or confessing that he would have lost heart, would have despaired beyond despair had he not had confidence in God. And this very confidence comes from God. Yes, David had times and moments in his life, as we do ourselves, in which we stumble, we doubt here and there, and we despair. But then David comes back and says this, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The sacrament, beloved, of the Lord's Supper that we are about to partake is a visible reminder for us to place our confidence in God and in God alone. in the work of and person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to wait for the Lord, to be strong in Him, and let our hearts take courage. His broken body, His shed blood tell us to wait for the Lord, the very one who is our sanctuary, our refuge, our shelter in this life and in the life to come. Let's pray.